Father, we thank you for this Thanksgiving week, and we do give thanks unto your name because you are worthy of our praise, and we love you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for those that are tuning in live right now, those that are may even been are already traveling, Father, to spend time with grandparents, friends, moms, or dads. Protect them, Lord, and all those that are going to travel and not be here with us this Wednesday, that, Lord, wherever they journey, let them have a wonderful time. And, Father, may they arrive safely and come home safely as well with fond and pleasant memories, O Lord, of this Thanksgiving. And, Father, we lift up again Mary Bentley, who just went through surgery this week. Lord, being with her, touching her body, O Lord, bringing healing to it. And, Lord, we lift up our nation that is so divided, that you would bring that unity that is so needed. And, Lord, I believe that that's exactly what you're going to do. And Father, we pray over the president-elect and the president, the vice president-elect, Lord, that you would surround them with godly men and women that would speak into their lives. Lord, bless this day. Bless this word. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn this morning to the book of the Old Testament book of Numbers. We're going to be in chapter 11 just for a little bit. You're going to do a lot of turning today, as this is our Thanksgiving sermon, and I'll be in Romans chapter 9 next Sunday, the Lord willing. But this morning, I cannot believe that it's already Thanksgiving 2016. I mean, can you believe it's here? We're celebrating it, and not only that, this means that the holiday season has arrived, but don't tell Walmart and the rest of them. That has already been there a month. And, 35 days until Christmas. And then the word that God has given unto us for this year is drawing to a close, the manifested, visible, seen help of God. And he has certainly done that in many of our lives. That doesn't mean that God ceases to help us in 2017, but God will give us a new word maybe for that year as well. But the thing that we want to remember this morning is we celebrate Thanksgiving. I know that I should never have to remind the believer to be thankful. Amen? But we do need reminding. There are times in our lives that, you know, we allow things to come in and steal our thankfulness to God, just steal just being thankful from us. And it's good to be reminded that we need to rejoice always and pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks unto the Lord, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, we know those things, but what's amazing is how this nation, all the way back into the late 1700s, when our first president, George Washington, that he is the one who set aside a national day of celebration of giving thanks unto God. Matter of fact, he put it this way. He said, as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed in acknowledgement with grateful hearts, with thankful hearts, the many good things that Almighty God has done for us. So I pray that if you're traveling, if you're going to go spend time with family, relatives, whatever, or maybe you have a bunch of people coming over to your home as well, that's great. And you know how it is. Sometimes our relatives are not all saved. This side does it. You agree. This side does it. I don't know what you're talking about, Bill. No. And sometimes you know how it is. Things get out of hand or whatnot. Just remember to love them. Amen. And so forth. You know, the Bible tells us something in Proverbs 15:17. It says, better is a dinner of herbs or vegetables where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Ooh, isn't God's word good? He says again in Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. I pray that your homes are filled with peace and your hearts are overflowing with the thanksgiving unto our Lord. Because the believer, the true believer, we know that giving thanks is not something that happens one day a year. You know what I mean? It's something that happens every day of the year. Amen? As we give thanks unto the Lord. Now, I'm going to talk to you about for 15 minutes before we get to Numbers 11. So just listen carefully as I want to speak about some things as I talk about Thanksgiving that are occurring in our nation. You know, the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do in this life, whatever you do in word, whatever comes out of your mouth, whatever you do in deed, meaning the actions, everyday living, it says, let everything be done according to the will of God, but actually where we are giving thanks and acknowledging God. Amen? That's what the Lord wants us to do. However, we live in a society that is really quite thankless, if you know what I'm saying. And only the believer is the one who really understands giving thanksgiving unto God. We have a mindset in our nation today that's absolutely void, if you will, of giving praise and honor and glory unto the Creator of all things, giving thanks unto His name. You know, the Bible is very clear. It teaches us that they, in Romans 1:21, that they fail to honor God or glorify Him as God. And you know what? Whenever you fail to honor God, you will also fail to give thanks unto God. And because of that, the Bible says that the people who do those things, it says that their minds are futile, are empty, or literally they're darkened or they're enslaved by the prince of the power of the air and so forth. They don't really know how to give or express that kind of thanks. Ingratitude is a horrible thing. Yet, you know, thanklessness is something that we can expect because the Bible tells us that in the very last days that our whole world and even those many in the church are going to be filled with ingratitude. Remember? Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 3:1, Paul says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, but know this, that in the last days, meaning the birth of the church till the rapture of the church, that in the last days, it says that perilous times will come. It's certain, it's going to happen. The word perilous means savage days and fierce days and horrible times. And it has nothing to do, as you've heard me preach many times, I'm sure, has nothing to do with famines or earthquakes or pestilence. There's about 19 or 20 characteristics that describe what people are going to be like in the last days. Let me just give you a few of them. It says that they're going to be, first of all, they're going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and here's that word, unthankful, without gratitude, unthankful to everyone. And it goes on, it says unholy, unloving, unforgiving, they're slanderers, without self-control, headstrong, haughty, goes on and on, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And God says in His Word, it says they have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. The word power there is dunamis, the power that comes into our life when we're born again. God says they're just a bunch of pretenders. He says they're not thankful at all. They're ungrateful people. They're not truly born again. We need to be a people that are filled with thankfulness to God every day. Amen? No matter what we're going through. And we are. This has been a hard year for many of us. I know personally. Listen. But you know, ingratitude, when we see the ingratitude, the lack of thankfulness in our nation today, you know, it's like the news media is making it out to be something that has never before happened, you know. In other words, we have these rioters. I don't know if you caught the news the other day. They arrested 112 rioters that were protesting the vice president-elect and the president-elect and so forth. And when they were questioned, there was 112. When they were questioned, only one person actually voted. I mean, why are you protesting? I mean, are you a dummy? You know what I'm saying? No, listen. You know, and then you have I remember what it was like in high school. Then you have the Washington, D.C. high schoolers. They're all skipping school, and they're protesting Trump and so forth. And they didn't even register to vote. And I'm going, what are you guys doing? What are you protesting? Well, you don't even know what you're protesting. You don't even know the three branches of the government. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be crude. You know, you're just a bunch of crybabies. No, I'm not going to say that. No, listen. You know, what are all these protesters protesting? Well, they're saying, he's not my president. You know, the media acts like this is something new. Listen, if you've lived as long as, let me pick someone out here. Mark, if you've lived as long as Mark, okay? He could tell you some things, can't you, Mark, huh? No, listen, if you've lived as long as I've lived, this is not any, how many remember the Watts riots? Come on, man. I mean, we were going, hello? Or how about the Democratic National Convention of 68, I believe it was. That was a merry good old time, wasn't it? No, listen. This is not something new. This is the mindset of people. You know, I look out there. I remember when I was in the United States Army in the 60s. I remember when Jane Fonda, I was stationed at Fort Carson, Colorado. Y'all know Jane Fonda? Jane Fonda called for all of us on the whole fort to not show up for duty and protest and all march, you know, and the general let everybody know that if you do that, you will be shot. I wouldn't have done that anyway. But, you know, so this is not anything new, burning draft cards. I mean, I remember all that, burning the bras, you know what I'm saying? Can you say that from the pulpit? I just did. I mean, you know, listen, I remember when Kent State broke out, you know, Kent State, when they killed the college student, you know, they called our battalion and said, you guys may be loading on a C-130 tonight going to Ohio. I said to my officer, I said, listen, sir, I said, how can we do that to our own children? I'm their age, you know? So this is not something that's new in our country. And the media is trying to pretend like, oh, look, everything is just falling apart. Listen, you know what? You can protest all you want, but why would you want to burn down buildings? Why would you want to beat up innocent people? You have the right. They have the right to protest in our country. Thank God. But you don't have the right to hurt other people. You don't have the right to burn down buildings and homes and beat innocent people and so forth. You know, ingratitude is costly. Someone said this, the things, talking about them, the things that they take for granted, someone else, meaning in other nations, they're praying to God for that they would have the freedoms that we have. When I hear of people this Thanksgiving saying, and even one last night that called, said, I'm leaving this country. I said, why? What happened? Trump is elected president. I said, did you just find that out? No. I said, would you have left if Hillary had been in? No. Well, I said, grow up. She didn't win. Why would you want to leave? I mean, listen, you know, I've had presidents. I remember standing in line when I was the very first time I was able to vote. Even though the person that I was voting for had already lost, I voted for him anyway. Why? It's a matter of principle. I didn't like the one that was being elected. But I didn't say, I'm leaving the country. I happen to love this nation. Amen. I received an email from the president of the National Education Association this Friday. Let me read what she wrote to me, or to many people. She said, schools should be havens, but right now many of our students are scared, they're anxious, they're feeling threatened. At the National Education Association, we're hearing from students and educators all over the country who are encountering hostile environments in their schools, their communities, with fake deportation notices being handed out, swastikas drawn in the bathrooms. We're being flooded with reports of hateful words, actions, and images directed at our students and our schools, nooses, racist graffiti, threats to the LGBTQ students, and headscarves being torn off, girls being assaulted. Children are hearing that they're not welcome in their own schools, and even in the country they call their home. It's no secret where I stood during this election. I know where you stood, okay. The 3 million members of the National Education Association and our allies are here to tell every student, you are safe with me. That, when I read that, I said to myself, that is a heartbreaking message about our schools, if that is indeed happening. Somebody told me after the first service, Bill, that's the left wing doing that. I don't know if it's the left wing, middle wing, right wing. I have no idea, okay? But I know this, if those things are occurring, and I'm sure many of them are, that is sad, isn't it? I mean, it is heartbreaking. I don't know what's wrong with this generation. Why are they doing crazy things like that? But in the midst of all that, may I say with tenderness that this right here, all the things that occur in our schools and in our nation, it's not an election issue. It is an emotional issue. It's a heart issue because out of the heart proceeds all those wicked things Jesus told us. Amen? Now listen, I wanted to write the president in tenderness, not beating her up or anything, but very tender, say, listen, I want you to know I'm praying for the schools, and I do pray for the public schools, but I wanted to say to her, listen, you know, when you take God out of the classroom, when you forbid us to pray, when you won't let us pray at football games and basketball games and proms and all the rest of it, when you remove the Ten Commandments from our schools and you teach all the children that they can be anything they want to be because they really came from an animal, whose fault is it that these things are happening in our nation? You see? And we have to say, man, you know, that's what's going on. Now, with all that being said, did I forget to pray over the shoeboxes? I did. Mark? Oh, Father, we forgive me. You know, that's what happens when the cheese, oh Lord, starts slipping off the cracker. I forgot. Lord, we're thankful for these shoeboxes. Not only are we thankful, Lord, But we're thankful for those who prepared them and prayed over them. And Lord, we know and pray wherever these little boxes full of these beautiful things end up into the hands of these little children, we pray over them now that they become a major stepping stone in their life to lead them to Christ Jesus as their Savior. Lord, let their hearts be warmed. Let them know that they are loved. And Lord, bless them now. Let them get into the exact right hands as we dedicate them to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Now, that's the way to run a service. Are you in Numbers chapter 11? Good, I told you I'd be there. Now, let's look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Remember now, the children of Israel here, they are now leaving Sinai. They're on a three-day journey, if you will. God is leading them toward the promised land and so forth. And listen now, the children of Israel, they had the visible, manifested presence of the living God and so forth. Think about that. Can you imagine to be supernaturally led by a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night? Whenever the cloud started to rest, you know, then the children of Israel would rest. When the cloud moved, it was time to march out. They would go with it. I mean, how incredible is that? You know, can you imagine seeing the cloud move? You're covered. The sun's not striking you by day at all. God is moving and you're moving right under it. And, I mean, surely the children of Israel, they're probably overflowing with joy, overflowing with thanks and gratitude unto God. You think that? Let's look what happened in verse 1. It says in Numbers 11, 1, and now when the children of Israel, oh, they rejoiced and their hearts were overflowing with thanksgiving unto God. No, what they murmured, that they complained, they were ungrateful, they were unthankful in their hearts to the living God. And it says, oh, and God was displeased, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them, consumed some of them in the outskirts of the camp. In other words, didn't kill everybody, just a few people. So that's called God's grace. And it says, then the people cried out to Moses. And Moses, when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So Moses called the name of the place Taberah, or burning, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now listen, we're not told what they were murmuring, complaining, unthankful about. We don't know. But we do know that God, it was directed toward God because he heard it, and his anger, he was very displeased with it. Can you imagine going on a journey with God, the presence of God, and they're the cloud, the pillar of fire. And within 3 days, you're already unthankful. You're already complaining. You're already murmuring against God. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's what you call the cost of ingratitude. You know, it costs you. When you're unthankful, it really does cost you. Amen? Listen, you know, it's easy for us to become wounded. Something could happen in your family. Something could happen in your life. Maybe, God forbid, maybe you went through a divorce. I pray you didn't, but maybe you did. And there's that ripping. There's that hurting. And there's all those things happening in your life. Or maybe your children or father, mother, whatever it be, or your best friend betrayed you, hurt you. And you know what? If you don't forgive and move away from those things, don't nurse them, don't rehearse them, don't keep talking about them, because if you do, you'll never be thankful. It will rob you from being thankful unto God because you're dwelling on the wrong thing. We've all been there, and it's hard sometimes to get over issues in our life. But I know this, that God is healing you right now, if that's you. And he will finally finish the healing, the wound, whatever is needed. But the children of Israel here, they were so miserable. And you know what started the fire in the first place from God? It was what came out of their mouth. It says it, their tongues. They, you know, what did Jesus tell us? He said that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you want a gauge of what's in someone's heart, all you have to do is listen to what comes out of their mouth. And you know something? A thankful heart always makes thankful lips. Amen? Always. And the way that the fire was put out, Moses prayed. Boy, James 4, 2, you have not because you ask not. Prayer. Prayer can put out any fire. I believe that. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, he says, knock and the door will be open, or ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Prayer. God says, keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Don't ever give up. Look at verse 4 now, talking about Thanksgiving 2016. It says, and now the mixed multitude, those were the ones that came out of Egypt. They could have married Egyptians, the man or the woman, vice versa. And it says, who were among them, oh, they yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel, look what they did. They started their bunch of sissies, and they wept again. And they said, oh, who will give us meat to eat? I mean, a cloud above you, pillar of fire. Who's going to come? Hello? Think about that. Who's going to give us meat? And look what they said. Oh, we remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt. Oh, we remember the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlics, the Big Macs. We remember them all. But now that we're 3 days' journey, now that God's presence is with us, now our whole being is what? Dried up. And there's nothing at all except God's provision before our eyes. There's nothing but this manna. It only took them 3 days to become ungrateful. Listen, you know what they're saying about the provision of God? They're saying there's nothing, oh, nothing. They're looking at the manna, probably holding it in their hands, I don't know. And they're saying there's nothing equivalent to, oh, nothing in existence equivalent to what we used to have in Egypt. Oh, the blackened trout that came out of the Nile. Oh, it was so good. You know what I'm saying. Are y'all with me? Okay. No, listen. He says, no, instead of remembering 400 years of bondage, they're just remembering Egypt because Egypt was still in their hearts. Their whole being was dried up. Listen, an unthankful believer is a dried up believer. You know, we need to give thanks unto the Lord for all things. Look at verse 7 now. And the manna was like coriander seed, and its color the color of Bedlam. And the people went about, and they gathered it, and they ground it on millstones. They beat it in mortar. They cooked it in the pans. They made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it, and fell from heaven, and so forth. In other words, while they slept, God provided food for the next day. We know the story. Manna was angels' food. Amen? Oh, listen, I'd love to go out into my backyard and say, oh, look, I've got breakfast and dinner and lunch. Hello, it's right there. You know? No, listen, they were unthankful for God's provision. They were unthankful for this wonderful food that God was providing. They hated it so much, they tried to improve it. They started, look what it says, they started what? Beating it, they ground it, they beat it, they cooked it, they made cakes with it, and they still didn't like it. Why? It didn't taste like Egypt. This doesn't taste like an Egyptian melon or a cucumber. Oh, this is horrible. No, they weren't happy with any of it. Look at verse 6 again. It says, and our whole being is dried up, nothing except this manna before our eyes. Can you imagine being unthankful for God's perfect nourishment? Perfect nourishment. I mean, perfect. You know, we better be never neglect our manna. Remember what Jesus told us in Matthew 4:4? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, unthankfulness and ingratitude, it says, God, you're just not enough. You're not enough to keep me satisfied. Can you imagine being 3 days' journey, already falling apart? You're 11 days away from the promised land. 11 days. And the manna, what happened? Remember when they crossed, the second generation, this is the first generation, the second generation finally made it across. And the moment they made it across, the manna ceased, it says. It was just temporary to start with. God knew exactly what he was doing. And they never, never arrived, the first generation. Listen, we are on our way home. We're on our way to the promised land right now. We're all running a race. This place is not our home. This thankless world that we live in, this is not our home. Listen, don't become attached to this place, because it's not going to make it, okay? Paul writes in Hebrews 13:14, it says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Therefore, listen carefully, by him, by our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it says, let us continually, say that word, continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, here it is, giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to the God of all hope, the God of all grace, the God of peace, all peace, by the way, the God of all comfort. Oh, listen, our Father in heaven, I'm so thankful for him. See, the believer knows. We know that Thanksgiving is not something that's just once in a while. It's every day to the believer. It's continually to the believer. Amen? Don't let anything rob you of giving thanks unto the Lord. You know, the cost of ingratitude made the children of Israel, the first generation, numb to the promises of God, the spoken promises of God, right there in their own midst. And you know what? When we're unthankful, I mean, you know what robs us from? How about Ephesians 1:3? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us, pronounced us blessed, with every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus, in the heavenlies, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's not talking just about the by and by. That's talking about the now and now. We've been blessed with every blessing. But you know, sometimes we just seem like we're so unthankful, we don't believe that verse at all. That's when we need to, I mean, flood our hearts and our minds with the Word of God. Turn off the TV. Do whatever it takes to get that into your heart. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to just turn to a few places, but let's go to the Psalms real quick. Let's go to Psalm 105. Would you go there with me? Psalm 105 is in the Old Testament. Psalm 105, and look at verse 1. Psalm 105, verse 1. Look here. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. I hear the pages turning. The Psalms right there in the Old Testament. There you go. You're getting there. Praise the Lord. You know, every pastor loves to hear pages turning, especially the ones that have been stuck together. Psalm 105, verse 1. Here it comes. Listen to this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing songs to him. Talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice. In other words, if you're seeking the Lord, your heart should be rejoicing. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't you start your morning like that? Where you're getting alone with the Lord before you ask him anything at all. Just start giving thanks unto his name. Amen? Start just praising him and worshiping him. You know, what I like to do is I go out of the bedroom because I get up really early. I mean, sometimes 4 o'clock, sometimes 3:30. I just can't sleep, and I get up and I go in there. In my favorite chair, it's a holy chair, okay, that I get in, and that's where it's in the dark, and I just start worshiping and start praising the Lord. Just sometimes I even start singing to the Lord, just making up songs. And you know something? It's okay to do that. He doesn't mind at all. I mean, if you start your morning off like that, what would the rest of your day be like? Now let's go to the next Psalm, Psalm 106, verse 1. Watch this now. Talking about Thanksgiving, about being thankful. Watch this one. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is, say it with me, he is good. Oh, he's so good. His mercy, meaning his unending love. His mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Question. Second question, who can declare all his praise? You know who? We can. Why? We're the sons and we're the daughters of God. We're the ones that God selected before time began. Amen? We're the ones that he's rescued from hell and sin and death. Listen, we can say, Lord, you better believe it. We can utter all the mighty, mighty works from you. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. 2 Timothy 1:9. Oh, God, you're so good to us. God is good. Look at 107, verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks. And here it is, the object of our thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. And it tells us why. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and may I add death, hell, and sin, and all the rest of it, and gathered out of the land from the east and from the west, the north, and from the south. My entire ministry, from my first pastorate to this pastorate here, I have opened every service with God is good. I say that because God really is good. That is a tremendous revelation in my life, because when I was growing up, you've heard the story about the people that lived across the street that was in church every night, and I gathered rocks on my porch. I kept them right there because hey, Billy Quinn, you're going to go to hell. I'm going, chong, yeah. You know, they never told me that God loved me. They never told me that Jesus died for me. They just told me I was going to hell. I didn't think God was good. I said, why would a good God do that to me? I don't know what to do. How do I get out of being bad? Bad Billy, you know what I'm saying? No, God is good. And that's why I open every service with God is good. And we close every circus. Yes, we're in a different area next week, yes. No. And we close every service with the song, God is good. Why? Because God really is good. See, goodness and mercy really is following you all the days of your life. Why? God is good. God loves you so much. Listen to this one from Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Man, you get up in the morning and you just say, oh Lord, you love me. I'm so thankful that you love me. I praise you. I honor you. And then you get home that night and you're tired and you say, oh Lord, you've been faithful all day long. You've kept me all this day. Psalm 147, verse 1, listen to this one. Praise the Lord. The reason here, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and his praise is beautiful. One more, just bear with me. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. Why? For his goodness. For his goodness. Oh, God is so good. It says, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Listen, we give thanks to God because God is good. He alone is good. Whenever the rich young ruler came to Jesus in the Gospels and he said, oh, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, listen, why are you calling me good? There's only one good. Only one person is good, and it is God alone. God is the originator of being good. Do you understand? Goodness originated with God. He's the sustainer of all good. We would even have the word good in our vocabulary had it not been for our God, our Father. Whenever Jesus upon this earth, Acts 10:38, it tells about how Jesus, whom God had anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. Man, that's what we need to be doing. Everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus is doing, everything that Jesus will do is absolutely and perfectly good. God is so good. He's good to us. There is not a moment in my life, and there is not a moment in your life when God is not good to you. You see, God is good. He can't help but be good to you. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 119:68, it says, you are good and you do good. Psalm 52:1, the goodness of God endures continually. The goodness of God is more than just having a proper doctrine. You see, God wants you to experience his goodness. He wants you to taste his. The Bible says, taste and see the goodness of God. Taste it. Have you tasted what it really means to be forgiven by God and to be loved by God, to be blessed by God, to be healed by God, or of God to speak to you? And you're so charged the moment God speaks into your heart. He gives you direction when you're praying for wisdom. You didn't know what to do. Oh, listen. There's no one like God, no one at all. The Bible says, oh, how great in Psalm 31:19, how great is your goodness, which you've laid up for those who fear you, which you've prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. God has all this stored up for us. There's no one like God, no one like God. You know, I get so excited because I know that God really does love me. God really does love you. With all my faults and all your faults, none of us are perfect. We're all under construction. God's still changing us from glory to glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? But in the midst of all that time, he says, oh, what behold, what manner of love that God the Father has lavished or poured out upon the sons and daughters of God. Behold, what manner of love. That love means a love. It's in one word in the Greek, by the way. It means a love that doesn't come from this world. It comes from heaven. It's God's own love. Oh, he loves us. It's uncaused. It doesn't go up and down. But I sinned. I blew it, God. But God's love doesn't change. Are you listening to me? It never, never changes. You know, God says in his word, he says, listen, I call you by name. By name. Think about that. Jesus said, you know, I know who my sheep are. They know me, and I call them by name. By name. They hear me. They'll not follow a voice of a stranger. Lord, do you know my name? He's, oh, Bill, I know everything about you, you old crummy dummy. You know what I mean? He knows everything. Listen, God is so good. You know, listen, he has collected and will collect every tear that you have ever cried. And the Bible says that he writes it in his book of remembrance. In his book of remembrance. That tear, I lost my father. I lost my mother. I lost my husband. I lost my son, my daughter, my grandma. I lost my job. I lost my wife in divorce. I lost my husband. Whatever it might be. God says, I know every tear. You know why? Because God is good. He knows everything. I think about God. The Bible says, you know, Jesus said, the very hairs of your head, they're numbered, not counted. They're numbered. This hair, Bill, goes right here. You know, if I lost it, he says, I know where it is. Okay, but it's counted. That's 4,005. Some of you only have about 3 or 4, so it'd be kind of difficult. But you understand what I mean. But he numbers all of those. Listen. He's literally engraved us. Oh, he's so good. He says, I've engraved you on the palm of my hand. You know, you can't get out of my hand. Jesus said, you can't get out of my hands and you can't get out of my Father's hands. All that God the Father gives me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. He says, no, God is so good. He's so good. You know, oh, I don't want to go there. I'm going to tell a story, but I'm not going to do that. I'll save it for the last. Turn with me one more time, or you're going to turn twice, but let's just turn two more times. But right now, go to Psalm, you should be close, Psalm 95. And look at this call to worship here. Watch this now. It says in Psalm 95:1, it says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Now, that's just not to Israel. That's an open invitation to all of us. It says, that's that corporate worship where we come and worship the Lord. He said, let us come before his presence. You know he's here. Did you, when you came today, did you, in your mind, you knew he was here? Okay. Yeah, come before his presence. And look how we're supposed to do it. It says, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. And let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. In other words, that thankful heart. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, that invitation. Come with all of your heart. Come knowing that God has cleansed you and washed you of all sin and adopted you and sealed you and chosen you. He says, you come and do what? Well, let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Why? Well, for he is God. And we are the people of his pasture. We are the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Listen, we give thanks unto God because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. He is our Maker. And not only that, it says right there that we're in his pasture. We're in his hands. And if that's the case, and it is the case, it means what are we worried about? What do we really have to fear? There's no reason to be wringing our hands and saying, God, what am I going to do when God says, hey, you're in my pasture. I'm the one that leads you beside into green pastures and still waters and all the rest of it. Amen. I know what I'm doing in your life. I'm always going to take care of you. God, even when you don't believe he's not taking care, he is taking care of you. God never, ever lets us down. You know, we need to be thankful. And the best way to be thankful in this day and age, turn one more time with me into the New Testament book, epistle of Colossians there. Colossians chapter 3. It's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay, you got it? Now look at chapter 3 with me. Now I'm going to show you how God says you can really be thankful in this life. You guys ready? Are you there? Okay, the answer is in verse 18. Look at it. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Oh, no, that's not where I'm supposed to be. No, I'm sorry. Oh, let's look at verse 15. There we go. Now, if we read all of it, it was talking about our love walk, keeping above all things that bond of perfection, which is love, walking in love one another, caring for one another with tender mercies and all of that. And he comes down and he says in verse 15, Paul says, listen, and this is something you have to do. It says, let the peace of God, or the peace of Christ, literally, rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body. That's us, the church. And what does he say? And be thankful. Why? Listen, we have the ability in this life, no matter what we're facing, to allow the very peace of Christ to rule, that's only found there in the New Testament. Rule, it means to call the shots. It means to umpire. It means that if you don't have a peace about doing something and you're going, oh, I don't feel, then God says, don't do it. See, Jesus is our peace, amen? And you know what? If you're stepping out this direction and all of a sudden you say, I just don't feel that's what I need to do. Don't violate that peace. Because if you do, you're not going to be thankful, believe me. You understand? No, it says, let the peace of Christ, call the shots in our body. And you know what? When we do those things, you see, a thankful believer is a peaceful believer. You're at peace. I'm not worried about it. I know God's going to take care of it. I know because I have a peace in my heart. But there's also something else to have that peace in your heart. You have to let God's word reign and live in your hearts as well. Look at 16, verse 16. And let the word of Christ, that's something we do, what? Dwell, or literally be at home, in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, here it comes, singing with grace, that word means thanks, giving with thanks in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, word, deed, thought, action, whatever it is here, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's our part. Father, I welcome the word into your heart. Every time I begin a sermon, or if I just a private Bible study for my own self, I always say from the psalmist, I say, Lord, please show me wondrous things from thy word or thy law. In other words, Holy Spirit, help me. I want to understand what I'm reading. I want to be able to apply it to my life. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a thankful people. And our heart is like a big old house. And if you'll, our storehouse, fill the storehouse with the word of God. Be thankful. We are the only stable people on the planet. We are. Everyone else is unstable in this world because they're not saved, loved one, and nor are they thankful. Listen, we need to be this Thanksgiving and every day, not just one day of the year, thankful for our Savior, Jesus, who died for us, who loves us, who lives for us, who intercedes for us, and the one who is coming for us. He may come today, I don't know. You know what's really sad sometimes is when you hear preachers, and I'm not beating them up or anything, you know, they have their way, I have mine, but they hang people over hell. Let's say you're here this morning, but you're an unbeliever, or you're listening live and you're an unbeliever. Well, you know what? I'm not gonna hang you over hell. You know, hell is real. God didn't create hell for man. He did for the devil and his angels, is what Jesus told us. Amen? But you know why so many people are lost today? Yes, the devil is blinding them, and that yes, they hate the word of God or whatever, but people are lost today because they refuse, they turn up their nose, they despise the goodness of God. The Bible is very clear. It says in Romans 2:4, it says, the goodness of God leads man to what? Repentance. When you see how good God is. When you, you know, you see that God loves you so much. Then all of a sudden, they say, well, listen, that means, look what God's doing and look at me. Oh, God is so good. He's so perfect. The Bible says one more time, let me read it. Psalm 107, verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works of the children of men. Now, here it comes. For he, meaning God and only God, satisfies the longing soul. Only God can satisfy the lost person. Only God can satisfy the person who is saved. Amen. He satisfies the longing soul. And not only that, he fills the hungry soul with goodness. He fills it with his goodness. There's no one like God. No one at all. You know, I'm so thankful for just being able to be alive right now. I'm serious. You know, the older that we get, we have things that go wrong with us. And you know, they can weigh us down. They can sometimes really weigh us down. But through it all, we can't rest there, because if we do, then that heart of a heart that's not filled with gratitude will diminish. And we need to give thanks to the Lord. Listen, we're in a good fight. Amen. You know, I pray that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I pray that you have a Christ-centered Thanksgiving. Matter of fact, from my home to your home, I pray it's a blessing. It's a good time, a wonderful time. But I also pray that you give thanks unto God every day, for God is good. Amen. Now listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something special right now. Then we're going to close with a song. But let me say something to you. If you don't know the Lord, whenever I'm finally through up here and we sing and close out, there'll be people down in the front. Man, listen, they'll love you. They'll show you how to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can walk out of this place a brand new person in Jesus' name. Amen. But right now, we're gonna have a couple come down. Rich and Laura, we're gonna renew some vows. You know what I mean? Yes. Good-looking couple, huh? Do y'all go to church here?
Once in a while.
Once in a while? You know, we're gathered here, all of us right now, because this couple who loves one another, they want to renew their vows before Almighty God and in the church and before you guys. Amen? Whenever people of God, amen, that's a wonderful thing. When a husband and wife stand here, you know what they're really doing? They're honoring God, because this brings honor to God, because God is the creator of marriage. He is our creator, male, female. And you know something? Only God, no one else, no piece of paper. If you've ever been to one of the weddings that I've done, no piece of paper, no justice of the peace, no pastor can make two people, male, female, one flesh. Only God can do that. That's called the miracle of the marriage covenant. Amen. So right now, as we're getting ready to do this, would you just hold your hands right across the aisle like that? I wanted to see if I could pick your wallet out.
Not much in it.
Yeah, just joke. Just joke. Rich, do you promise before Almighty God to continue to love Laura as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it?
I do.
And you know that love is a commandment. I know you know that. You know, husbands, love your wives. That's a verb. It means more than saying it. And I know you know that. It's to demonstrate that love. Amen. It says, and do you promise to treat Laura as holy, as precious in this marriage, to continue to honor her, encourage her, pray for her, and be with her and treat her as God's precious gift to you for the rest of your life?
I do.
And Laura, do you promise before Almighty God to continue to love, to respect, and treat Rich as God's precious gift to you?
I do.
And do you promise to continue to submit to one another in the fear of God?
I do.
Good, because that word submit's not a bad word.
No, it's not.
No, man has made it a bad word. Pastors have made it a bad word. But the word submit means mutual submission. It means where it's not your will, it's not her will, it's thy will be done. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. Amen. He says, so do you promise now to continue to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord, knowing that God, his love, his power is what brought you both together and will always keep you together for the rest of your life?
I do.
Wonderful. Well, your marriage has now been rededicated before God our Father. You may kiss with a renewal kiss.
Thank you, Pastor.
We're going to pray. We're going to pray real quick. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for this couple working in their hearts, working in their lives, and Lord, just allowing us the privilege to witness the renewal of their vows. So now may the Lord God and the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you both forever and ever and ever. May your marriage be filled with God's peace and joy all the days of your life. And what God has renewed and what God has joined together, let no person ever put asunder. In the mighty name of Jesus, and the church says,
amen.
Amen. I have a special announcement here to make. This wonderful couple, listen, they want us to join them at the Omni Hotel right at... Oh, it's a misprint. I'm sorry. You are more than welcome right after this service to go to the cafe. Is that right?
Yes.
So, and you can go back and greet or whatever you need to do. I love you both. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? You know what? While they're taking pictures, let's sing to the Lord. God.